is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. You know, friends, I recently received some information from Brother Andrews. He's the founder and the head of a ministry called Open Doors. And for many, many years now, Brother Andrew has been bringing Bibles. If he had to smuggle them, he would do so into so-called closed countries, trying to train and equip local leaders to encourage and strengthen the suffering church. You see, in places like Red China, Cuba, and even places in Africa, some in South America, the Christians have had to form house churches. Yeah, I think that's what we're doing here in America with home churches. Brother Andrew says that Chinese house churches are being closed, their property is being confiscated, and the pastors and their congregations are being imprisoned. Many Christian believers are being tortured and martyred. But you know, a strange thing is happening. The more savage the government persecution, the faster the church seems to grow. House churches. You know, millions of Chinese being forced to undergo the communist revolution, so-called, under Mao Zedong, are now receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the pastors of these home churches was quoted as saying, quote, "In my group, we have hundreds of churches with thousands of new converts, but some of these churches don't even have one Bible for their entire congregation." Now, Brother Andrews asked for our help, and we're going to give it here in the ministry. You know, years ago, Brother Andrews and his group would smuggle Bibles into the Soviet Union. And they really took a chance that they could be arrested. And now today, Chinese Christians are pleading for help. What do they want? Do they want our money? Do they want sexy clothing and jewelry and all kind of commercial goods? No, you know what they're asking for? Bibles. The Word of God. Let us pray for these Chinese Christians. You see, this is one of the reasons we have Bible Home Church. Because we need to understand, friends, that in these last days there is a famine of the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, I know there's churches on every corner here in America. Big deal. You don't see very much preaching of the Word of God inside those churches. They're cold. They're dead. But I praise God for home churches across America. And I thank you for having joined Bible Home Church. You can see, my friends, what we support, what we defend here. The right of people everywhere to worship Jesus Christ. That is our mission. And that is our goal. And we're going to keep it up until either Jesus comes again or we meet our Maker. In either case, we'll be with Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to have a little song now by the Cathedrals, one of my favorite groups. You'll like this song, and right after it, you'll hear Tex Mars as I continue my series now entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People? You just might be one of them. So you're going to want to stay to hear what I have to say till the end of the program here on the topic as we continue the series, Who Are God's Chosen People? But first, this song by the Cathedrals, For the Cross Made the Difference.
is a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walk the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever for the cross made the difference for me. There's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing.
Six says, and he, that is Abraham, or Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, right away, we've got another principle, a spiritual principle. Abraham believed in the Lord, and what did God do? He counted that for righteousness. Was Abraham a righteous man? I suppose, in a manner of speaking, yes. Was he a perfect man? No. Are you perfect? Well, maybe you're more perfect than me, but still you're not perfect, perfect. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Then God will count that for righteousness. Very wonderful spiritual principle we have. Did God count it as righteousness because he was a Jew? Well, he came from Babylon. The nation of Israel didn't even exist. Had nothing to do with being of a certain race. It had to do with faith. It had to do with belief, and God counted that for righteousness. Genesis 17, we keep seeing God working with Abraham. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. How many nations? Many. Father of Israel? Well, yes. Father of just Israel? Just that physical nation of Israel? No. Abraham was going to be a father of many nations, we're told there. And then God said, verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. That is literally the meaning of Abraham, father of many nations. That's why God changed his name. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Did he say, and I will make a great nation? A king? No. Nations. Now we have families. Now we have peoples. We have nations. As many as the stars in the sky. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God says, your seed, I will be a God to them. I will be their God, not a God. I'm sorry, I misspoke there. I will be their God. The seed of Abraham. So if we want to know who's chosen, we're going to have to find out who that seed is, because that's who God is God of. He's God for, he's God of this seed. And he promised it. All right, let's just keep going here. Isaiah had a little bit to say about that. We read in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 20 and 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God says to Isaiah, here's my covenant. My word will never leave the mouths of your seed. The word of God will never leave the mouth of his people. Forever, he says. Then chapter 60 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. That's the seed now. The seed of Abraham, the seed of, yes, that's coming out even from Isaac now. And God says that though the world will be cast in gross darkness, nevertheless, his people will arise and shine, the seed. Verse 3 says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Then he says, verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far. Wow. Just that little area of the world? No, from far. Many families. Many nations. Verse 5 says, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Verse 21 says, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Now, in Isaiah 62, verse 2, it says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. A new name. Verse 12 of chapter 62 says, and they shall call them the holy people. That's the chosen of God, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Think about that. The redeemed, the holy people. Now, I want to ask you, my friends, are you the redeemed? Are you the holy people? Are you the seed of Abraham? Are you part of the family of God? we're going to find out today. Now, let's move from the Old Testament into the New Testament and into Jesus' era. Jesus was asked a lot of questions about this, and he had a lot to say about it. Let's talk about what Jesus had to say. This is from the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, the Jews were very upset with him, the Pharisees, even the Sadducees. And before Jesus even began his active ministry, there was John the Baptist, wasn't there? And John had a little bit to say about the seed and such. Remember, they came to him to be baptized, and John, he wasn't too pleased with that. And he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees who had come to be baptized by him, he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." The Jews said in their pride, "We have Abraham as our father. We're here to be baptized because we have this special dispensation from God. We're favored by God. We're the holy people. We're the chosen people. We're Jews. We're of this special physical race." And John said, "Where is your repentance? That's all God is looking for. And as far as your pride and your physical race of being Jews, God can raise up other Jews from these stones." Well, that put them in their place. And I think that's a good verse for any racist today. Black, white, Oriental, Jew, Gentile. Think about that. I'm so special because I'm black. I'm so special because I'm white. I'm so special because... No, you're not. There's a king of heaven, there's a king of hell, and you belong to one of them. And if you think you're so special, God could extinguish you today and he could raise up more children from stones. Boy, now that sort of deflates your racial identity just a little bit when you think about that. Jesus also said, and John the Baptist is also quoted of talking about fruit. "Can a good tree bringeth forth good fruit?" Yes, it can. "But a corrupt tree," he says, "bringeth forth evil fruit." He was talking to the Jews of his day. Were they an evil tree? If they were an evil tree, would God hew it down? Would he cut it down? Would he bring another branch and put it in? Well, let's see about that. Then we get to Jesus and some of his miracles. Here's one that he talked a little bit about race. Remember the centurion who came to Jesus and needed the healing of his son? But he said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof." Not a son, but a servant. "But speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." This Roman centurion, he was not Jewish. He came to Jesus, and he wanted his servant to be healed. First of all, a lot of people back in those days probably didn't really give a big hoot about their servants. If they died, too bad. But this Roman centurion cared. He was a caring master for his servant. And he came to Jesus. And he told Jesus, "I am not even worthy." Now, here was a Roman centurion. He probably believed he was better than the Jews. The Romans thought they were the superior race. But he told Jesus, who was a Jew, and a lowly Jew, born of a carpenter, you know, family. He said, "I'm not even worthy that you could come to my home." And I bet the Roman centurion, remember, what did Jesus have for a home? He said, "The foxes have holes and the Son of God has nothing." But the centurion says, "I'm not even worthy for you to come to my home." But he said, "I know one thing, you give the word and my servant will be healed." Here's what Jesus had to say. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Yeah, this is Matthew 8. "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He found it in the heart of a Roman and a soldier. And then Jesus said, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Wow. You mean God is going to call and choose people, and they're going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven? That's what Jesus said. And then he says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what kingdom he was talking about? The kingdom of the Jews. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? The Roman centurion obviously was chosen by God. I believe he was. He had faith. Don't tell me he wasn't one of God's chosen people. I believe he was. He was called. He was chosen. And then Jesus also said, Matthew 11, verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You want to be a blessed person, then don't let anything that Jesus ever did offend you. And don't be ashamed of your Lord and Savior. Now, if you're called of God, if you're chosen of God, the Bible says that you're of the family of God. And Jesus talked about that too. Here's what he said when he was confronted with his own family. This is found in Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, his brothers, stood without, that's outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You want to be part of the family of God? Then Jesus says, do my will, and you'll be my family. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Did he say you had to be a Jew? No. You have to believe, and you have to do God's will. Here we see a principle of who is chosen. Now let's get back to the seed. If we want to know who the seed is, the seed of Abraham, because that's really the chosen, isn't it? The seed. Let's talk about the seed a little bit. Now Mark 4, chapter 4, has some tremendous... I mean, this alone could take 3 or 4 sermons. But listen to this a little bit. Remember now, Jesus gave the parable of the seed. Now I want you to understand something about this parable. I wish I could talk more about it. But let me just very quickly summarize it for you. He gave the parable of the seed. You know, the seed was planted, but then, you know, certain things happened. You know, it was planted on rocky ground, and the sun came out, and some of it withered, et cetera, et cetera. But finally, one seed was planted, and it, you know, began to prosper and to grow. So there's different things that happen here with seed. Well, after he finished this parable, his disciples were confused, because the seed that they had heard about was the seed of Abraham. They were trying to figure out what kind of seed he was talking about. All they knew was that they were of the seed of Abraham as the Jews, and they were going to be favored with the kingdom and all of those things. And you remember, two of the disciples, their mothers came and said, Lord, would you make sure that my son has greater, you know, authority when you come into your kingdom? Well, the disciples, when they were alone with him, said, Lord, we are confused. I'm paraphrasing, but they said, we don't know what you were talking about. This parable, the mystery of the seed. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something that will save people's lives. They didn't understand, because they had been taught a false theology that many people are taught today. And you know what Jesus said to them? He said, to you it is given to know the mystery of the seed. And then Jesus said something more mighty. He said, if you know this parable, if you understand this parable, you will understand all the parables. Wow. All the mysteries of God are tied up in this one parable. And then Jesus said something even greater. He said, and if you understand this parable, you will be converted and healed and be saved. Now that. Understand the seed parable, you will know the mystery of all the parables, and you will be converted and healed and saved. You know, when I read that, I immediately said, I've got to know. I've got to, this, if there's any verse anywhere, I want to know what it has to say. I want to know all the mysteries here. I want to know about all the parables and understand them. And he said, if you just understand this one, you'll know all of them. And not only that, but Jesus, because he had called the disciples, he said, it is given unto you to know. Now, if God has called you, then you're going to understand this parable. That's a promise from Jesus. But he said those who are outside the kingdom will not understand. Because if they did understand it, their eyes would be opened and they would be saved. Now, I'm telling you today, folks, there is something called the seed faith gospel that is being spread by many, especially charismatics. They call it the seed gospel, the seed faith gospel. And I can tell you right now, none of those people are Christians. They're not even Christians. You say, oh, Tex, how can you say? Paul, who are you to judge? I judge them by their fruits. I judge them by this one parable. I know that they're not saved. You know why? They don't understand this parable. If they understood this parable, they would be saved. And what is this parable? What does it say? I hope I've given you enough curiosity here to go and study Mark 4 on your own. But let me start with the very first thing Jesus said. He sits down with the disciples and he starts to explain. And you know what he says, the first thing? The seed is the Word. And the Word of God is planted in a human being's soul or heart. Well, we're going to get to that. But the seed is the Word of God that's planted inside a person. Now, we've started a big road right there. That's the seed. The Word of God. But what is the Word of God? Now, there we go into another mystery. What is the Word of God that's planted in a person? Well, that's explained in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. What is the Word?
You have been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.